Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Austin Peterson. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. So today's show will feature just myself. Usually I've been having a lot of guests on lately, but this was a topic that I thought would benefit from me being able to elaborate some of my deeper thoughts on this topic, especially because whenever I post about it, it becomes very controversial on my social media networks. But this discussion was sparked by a recent battle between Bill Maher, Ben Affleck, and noted intellectual Sam Harris, who appeared on Maher's show, Real Time with Bill Maher, to discuss the problems with the Islamic faith. Now, I'm going to go over this from a few different angles. One, I want to describe to you the incident as it sort of occurred on the ground and invite you to the Libertarian Republic or LibertyViral.com to see the video clip. You can actually watch the exchange. It's about 10 minutes, but I'll give you a decent little walkthrough of exactly what happened. And then Sam Harris has actually written a retort to this, so because he saw himself as attacked by Ben Affleck, who notably went a little hostile against Sam Harris and Bill Maher because Bill Maher and Sam Harris are slamming liberals now. And I think that's probably why, you know, some on the left are getting a little angry at both of them because, well, one, Bill Maher has said, hey, I might vote for Rand Paul. So that's probably pissing off liberals quite a bit because I think people are starting to understand liberals like Bill Maher and certainly maybe Sam Harris, they're probably starting to understand they're pushing out their libertarian instincts here. Because Islam, in my opinion, is a totalitarian ideology. And as are all religions to me, like just some worse than others. And I say that from the point of objectivity, where I really understand that there is a difference between radical Islam and, you know, radical Buddhism, for example, you know, like just to try and be objective here, you know, that these two philosophies are not the same. And one is more virulently dangerous or inherently dangerous than the other. And so you have to put these threats into perspective. Now, the Washington Post actually published another rebuttal article saying that both Ben Affleck and Bill Maher and Sam Harris were wrong in the way that they characterized Islam. So I'm going to read to you first exactly what happened. Then I'm going to break down the polls, the Pew poll that the Washington Post mentions, which basically states that, you know, everybody was wrong in this segment. And then I'm going to read to you a little bit from Sam Harris's rebuttal and why he thinks he was attacked, to get his response to this criticism that Ben Affleck was throwing his way. And then we can have a little bit of a discussion about what we think of the threat of Islam. Now, to start off, I'm going to read to you from Mediaite. Bill Maher and Ben Affleck battled over radical Islam, and author Sam Harris got into what could only be described as a tumultuous continuation of Bill Maher's comments about Islam from the week before. And Maher and Affleck were tearing into each other over the influence of fundamentalists in the Muslim community. And Sam Harris started out, "We've been sold this meme of Islamophobia, where criticism of the religion gets conflated with bigotry towards Muslims as people," Harris began. "It's intellectually ridiculous." Affleck comes swinging. "Hold on, are you the person who officially understands the codified doctrine of Islam?" And then he went on, Ben Affleck like kept pouncing. He said it was gross and racist. It's like saying, "Oh, you shifty Jew." What follows after that is a few minutes of Affleck and Bill Maher going at each other and yelling over each other, with the occasional interjection from Crystal and Steele. that's Steele, the former RNC chairman, providing intelligent perspectives on reformers in the Muslim world, smart statistical analysis from Harris about the spectrum of fundamentalism, and then another few minutes of Affleck and Maher yelling at each other. And Affleck yells, "Your argument is, you know, black people, they shoot each other." "No, it's not. It's based on facts," Bill Maher retorted. And so this was, you know, just a pretty heavy back and forth. Not very much intellectual stuff going on, but at least we're having a real debate about this issue. Now, basically what happened was that after the heated debate happened, you know, and Affleck was objecting to what he saw with caricatures of Muslims, you know, he was saying that that Maher was caricaturing 1.6 billion people based on the actions of a minority. So who's right? In 2013, the Pew Research Center surveyed 38,000 Muslims in 39 countries to sketch an outline of global Muslim opinion on everything from Sharia law to interfaith relations to the role of women in society. Pew polled Muslims about a number of abhorrent practices like honor killings, stonings for adulterers, and death for apostates. Now, here's what they said. Now, when they asked people from different countries, are honor killings permissible? Well, they broke it down to whether or not a male committed the offense or a female committed the offense. And so if the percentage of Muslims who said that it was never justified to commit an honor killing spanned from Southeastern Europe, Central Asia, Southeast Asia, Southeast Asia to the Middle East. And so what it showed was that in like places like Europe, Southeastern Europe, and different places like Russia, Albania, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Kosovo, Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan. So male killings were on, said it was never justified. They said it was in a smaller amount said it if they were from Asia to a rising scale of if they were from the Middle East. So picture it this way. If they were from the Middle East, you would expect they would be more radicalized and say that honor killings are more permissible. But in 14 of the 23 countries polled, at least half said honor killings for premarital sex were, quote, never justified when the accused is a woman. 14 out of 23, never justified. Overall, Muslims were more apt to find justifications for honor killings for women rather than men, particularly in the Middle East, but there's a lot of variations between countries. Now, in Azerbaijan and Indonesia, more than 80% of Muslims say honor killings are never justified, regardless of the gender of the accused. By contrast, less than a third of Iraqis and a quarter of Afghan Muslims say the same. So that's not good if you're living in Afghanistan or Pakistan. So they also looked at stoning for adulterers. So there's a sliding scale here, a bar chart here, that shows majorities of Muslims support death by stoning for adulterers in 6 out of 20 countries surveyed. So if you look at Afghanistan, Pakistan, Palestinian territories, Egypt, Iraq, Malaysia, and I believe Jordan, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, everything, no, but Jordan's out. So it's basically Afghanistan, Pakistan, Palestinian territories, Egypt, Iraq, Malaysia. That's where a majority of Muslims are supporting stoning of adulterers. So all the things that liberals are against, right? And so if you go down the scale from there, it's like, you know, Jordan, Bangladesh, Thailand, Indonesia, Tunisia, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Lebanon, Russia, Kosovo, all the way up to Bosnia. And Bosnia only 2.5%. So this poll would seem to indicate that the majority of Muslims are going to have a belief about Islam, are going to be radicalized depending on their geographical area. So this may be a problem with Muslims in a geographical area. The only problem with that is, with that way of thinking is, that if it's confined to geography, what about all the people who aren't Muslims in those same areas? So you would wonder that if the correlation was that more Muslims in these certain geographic areas are going to have these types of radicalized beliefs, well, then perhaps, you know, you would look at other faiths. And the problem here is that stoning for adulterers, you know, Christians may have that in their doctrines, but they don't practice it, at least not in any, like, even third world nations. You don't see here of Christians performing stonings and things like that. If they do, it's usually like a radical cult group that's like a, you know, Jim Jones-ish type thing. But this is something, it's still a big problem when you have so many people who believe this in this many countries. Even six countries is too many for people to believe and actively participate in stonings and, you know, killing people for adultery. I think it's, to me, it still shows that it's a problem. And what they're trying to do is, you know, you're trying to say, well, look at the statistics. It's not a problem of the majority, because when you look at this in European countries, oh, you know, it goes down, right? So these people are liberalized. Well, the beliefs are the problem, not the number of people who believe it. I think that that is a problem, and you have to say, oh, well, obviously, you know, 99 barbarians is worse than 1 out of 100, right? But that's just statistics. What we're really fighting here is a war of ideas, and the ideas are wrong. The ideas, like Bill Marsh and Sam Harris, they should not be arguing this from a perspective of statistics. Oh, it's only a small problem. It's like, oh, only a small amount of cancer is killing us. You know, argue the principle. And I think that Sam Harris is right, and I'm getting ready to read his response to Ben Affleck. I think that Sam Harris is right here, and he's right to quote statistics, because a lot of people take a lot of, you know, they take a lot of their beliefs from statistics, but you have to be very careful on how you look at numbers and how you choose to respond to issues based on how great a threat you think they may be based on statistics. Now, a lot of people will do that because it's like, you know, obviously, if you're going to try budget cutting, they'll say, oh, well, only a small amount of money goes to foreign aid, so we shouldn't focus on cutting from that budget. Well, whatever, you know, if you've got a thorn in your side, you're still bleeding from the hole. You can patch up the small holes, perhaps, sometimes more than you can patch up the big ones. So anyways, the problem here is that we're arguing statistics, and the statistics still aren't good on the side of liberalism. So let me read from Sam Harris's response, which came out yesterday, which I think is beautifully written. Sam Harris is one of my favorite public intellectuals. And he says, I admit I was a little thrown by Affleck's animosity. I don't know where it came from, because we hadn't met before I joined the panel. And it was clear from our conversation after the show that he is totally unfamiliar with my work. I suspect that among his handlers there is a fan of Glenn Greenwald who prepared him for his appearance by simply telling him that I'm a racist and a warmonger. Whatever the reason, if you watch the full video of our exchange, which actually begins before the clip that Sam Harris has here, you will see that Affleck was gunning for him from the start, which he was. What many viewers probably don't realize is that mid-show interview is supposed to be protected 5 to 7 minute conversation between Marr and the new guest. To ignore this structure and encroach on the space is a little rude. To jump in with criticism, as Affleck did, is pretty hostile. He tried to land his first blow a mere 90 seconds after I took my seat, before the topic of Islam even came up. Although I was aware that I wasn't getting much love from Affleck, I didn't realize how unfriendly he'd been on the show until I watched it on TV the next day. This was by no means a normal encounter between strangers. For instance, I said that liberalism was failing us on the topic of Islamic theocracy. And Affleck snidely remarked, "Thank God you're here." And I then said, "We've been sold this meme of Islamophobia, where every criticism of the doctrine of Islam gets conflated with bigotry toward Muslims as people," and Affleck jumped in for the third time, more or less declaring the mid-show interview over. "Now, hold on, are you the person who understands the officially codified doctrine of Islam? You're the interpreter of that?" And as many have pointed out, Affleck and Nicholas Kristof, who was another guest there, promptly demonstrated my thesis by mistaking everything Mara and I said about Islam for bigotry towards Muslims. Our statements were, quote, gross, racist, ugly, like saying you're a shifty Jew, and a, quote, caricature that has, quote, the tinge a little bit of how white racists talk about African Americans. The most controversial thing I said was, Sam Harris is speaking now, "We have to be able to criticize bad ideas, and Islam is the motherlode of bad ideas." This statement is has been met with countless charges of bigotry and racism online and in the media. Yeah, right, exactly. But imagine in the years 1970 and I said communism is the motherlode of bad ideas. How reasonable would it be to attack me as a racist or someone who harbors an irrational hatred of Russians, Ukrainians, Chinese? That is precisely the situation I'm in. And here is Sam Harris seeing now a lot of the problems with modern liberalism. Liberals today are censorious. They want to censor, and they do this by declaring you a bigot, you're a racist, you're a homophobe. You know, just because, for example, let's take for example, you know, I want to allow Christian business owners to not be forced to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple, right? They don't want to bake a wedding cake for a gay couple because it goes against their religion. Well, liberals now demand you must bake it if you're a bigot and you don't deserve to be in business, and they want to use the government to shut you down. You know, and Sam Harris is lucky here that he's just an author and public intellectual, because if he was doing anything that required government licensing, in a sense, other than being a member of the free press and using his free speech, I'm sure liberals would come in and try and shut him down. You know, they do call him a warmonger and a racist. And they said the same thing about Christopher Hitchens for wanting to go into Iraq. Well, Christopher Hitchens, you know, who died, last year or a couple of years ago, he had a lot of the same problems with Islam. Now, he was more of a warmonger, but you can't just say, just because you're criticizing the tenets of Islam, that you're a racist or you're a bigot, you know. And I call out what I see as Christian theocracy all the time. And here's a perfect example, and Bill Maher talked about this on a show. This is what started this whole controversy. I wrote a story a few weeks ago about a young boy who was getting in trouble for defacing a statue. All he did was take a picture of himself shoving his crotch in the face of a statue of Jesus. Now, listen, that may offend you, ladies and gentlemen, but the only crime he could really theoretically be convicted of is trespassing on private property. Well, they're trying to convict him of defacing a sacred monument or whatever. It's some charge, something about defacing a sacred shrine, which is a crime not in the United States anywhere. It's totally unconstitutional. Again, he trespassed on a private property, and you shouldn't have touched their sign. But, you know, Muslims, their belief system has it that you can't draw a picture of Muhammad. You know, they thought they were talking about this in the debate between Affleck and Maher and Sam Harris. But, you know, there was a majority of Muslims in a certain country that wanted, or excuse me, in Europe, which is what Harris cited, that wanted the Danish cartooner who drew Muhammad, they wanted him arrested, prosecuted. They want the police to come after him. So liberals really are not good on the problems of theocracy anymore. You know, the people who are speaking out against theocracy, if they are liberals, are using libertarian rhetoric there. And that's why, you know, when libertarians, they kind of come after me because I go after Islam, they'll fling the words racist or bigoted at me and stuff like that. And I think that they're performing a lot of the same carnival sideshow that Ben Affleck was providing for us. And that's because I believe that Islam is a bad idea. Well, guess what? I'm probably about to offend you again, but I think Christianity is a bad idea. I think Buddhism is probably a bad idea. I don't know much about it, a little bit about Zen perhaps, but any kind of groupthink, I just really don't care for. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't mind collectivism as long as it's voluntary. And certainly religions, for the most part, unless they're cults, which most of them start out as that, they can be benign. They can be harmless. But it doesn't mean that I don't think it's a bad idea. Because, again, you know, who was a great example of a Christian cultist? You know, Jones, the Jones cult, the Jonesboro cult, I believe they were called, the Jim Jones, the preacher who they all committed suicide because they all believed in something, and so they could all be twisted and manipulated. And I think that's what is happening to many of these people in the Muslim world. They are manipulated. They don't have mass media like Hollywood, and they don't have television from New York, and they're not getting the same media that the Europeans are getting to liberalize, which I think media does have a liberalizing effect, and a lot of my conservative listeners are not going to like that, but it's very true. Again, I consider myself a libertarian, but I like to think of myself as a classical liberal. And so liberal values, we need to be bringing these liberal values to the people of the Middle East who have these beliefs about honor killings and stoning of adulterers, and they're forcing their women to, you know, be subjugated. And that's why we have to talk about things like ISIS. You know, it's because these people, they go around, they have the groups that they basically, the morality enforcers. And they're going around and they're enforcing morality on the community. Now, in the United States, we have those people that are called the Mormons, and they wake you up at 9 a.m. on Saturday. But you know what? They're not bringing AK-47s to your door, okay? There's a big difference between the Mormons knocking on your door on Saturday and the Muslims knocking on your door on Friday afternoon telling you, you know, put some clothes on your wife, you know. You know, and those are the people that need to be AK-47'd, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry to say that. You know, that might sound militant to me. But shoot others before they shoot you. Okay, all right. That's going to get people pissed. Sorry. No. Listen, you're not racist for criticizing a belief system, okay? You can believe that people have bad beliefs. Guess what? I don't believe in Judaism either because it's still a religion. It's still stupid to me. It's still groupthink. I know why people believe in religion. They want a sense of community. They've grown up in a church. They want to feel like they belong to something. Fine. All of these are good, positive, uplifting reasons to be in a religion. But when you're doing it because just because your parents told you to do it and you're not questioning it, that's not liberal, and that's how we get the rise of death cults. And to me, Islam is just one big major death cult. You know, all of the major religions are all based on death or suffering, you know, hell, heaven, afterlife, perhaps. Judaism to a lesser extent. But to me, Bill Maher and Ben Affleck, this exchange really, to me, demonstrates the difference in the understanding of the problems that we face. Now, here's the thing. If you're like me and you're libertarian, you generally are pushing towards less interventionist policies, less war, smaller government, you know, limiting the boots on the ground, then you're going to have to do things, you're going to have to, and we're going to say, hey, we libertarians, we always say, hey, this is an ideological battle. It can't be won by boots on the ground. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's the problem. And libertarians, I need you to listen to me very, very closely. If this is an ideological battle, not one that can be won by boots on the ground, then libertarians are going to have to stand up like Bill Maher and Sam Harris and be liberal. We're going to have to bring liberal values to the Muslim theocracies, to the Muslim theocrats. We are going to have to stand up to them and know that we will be called bigots, we will be called racists, there will be the Ben Afflecks of the world who will come in and deride us, but if you are not a bigot, and if you are like me, you're a classical liberal who believes in liberal values, who believes in freedom and free markets and free speech and gender equality before the law, then you have got to stand up and fight this ideology and from a libertarian viewpoint, a classical liberal viewpoint. So don't libertarians come out and say in one breath, oh, well, this is an ideological battle. We shouldn't be in Iraq and Afghanistan fighting with boots on the ground because we've got to fight an ideological battle. Don't say this on one hand and then tell me on the other hand, oh, well, no, you're a racist or a bigot if you criticize Muslims or Islams. Screw you. Get off your butt and get in the fight. Piss or get off the fence. You need to take sides in this and say, listen, you're either going to bomb them to hell or you're going to fight this ideological battle. Because if you are a libertarian, then you must fight for the liberal values all the time. And this isn't, if you're some nationalist, like nationalist conservative paleocon who's a Christian, and you're going to say, oh, well, my religion's better than Islam, you're probably not going to be on my side in this. You know why? Because at the bottom of it, you hate Islam because they don't believe in your God the same way you believe, which is hilarious, because Christians and Muslims believe in the same God. And you know that's true, and you don't like it. And at the end of it, when the secular liberals, such as myself, come out and do battle with the Muslim fundamentalists, like you Christian paleoconservatives do want to do, when we fight them from the secular viewpoint, all of a sudden we lose our Christian allies because we're fighting that collectivist groupthink that is that religious belief. And so in that fight, we lose the conservatives, because that is when the conservatives will start throwing the bigot label, and they'll start turning into the same authoritarian viewpoint. They will follow the same authoritarian party lines and rhetoric that the liberals we are fighting against, again, who are using this, like Ben Affleck, are using. And all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, you see where the real struggle is. It's not between liberals and conservatives. It's between authoritarians and libertarians. And that is the difference, because that is where the conservatives, the Muslim conservatives, and the Christian conservatives stand arm in arm. And that is the problem. And that is why we will never be able to defeat radical Islam until we can lay it out on the same terms of this level playing ground. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. If you enjoyed my show, do me a favor. Go to iTunes, or you can go to Stitcher.com if you don't have an Apple product. But do me a favor, if you really enjoy the show, ladies and gentlemen, just spend 30 seconds of your time. Go to iTunes, leave me 5 stars. A good review that you write out is even better. You'll help me expand the Freedom Report podcast to even more. And I'm telling you what, hundreds of thousands, millions of people are tuning into this show. I cannot thank you enough for being a loyal listener if you've been here. And please, just don't forget, come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com. And now, don't miss libertyviral.com too. Have a great day.